So this morning, I've been given the task of going over loving your enemies. Now, I got tennis shoes on, so y'all don't start throwing nothing at me up here. I got tennis shoes where I can run. So just letting everybody know, I do got some shoes that I can get going and take off. But this morning, we'll talk about loving your enemies. I know it's a topic that we don't really cover much, but I think is needed, very much so in today's time. So this morning, let's open up and identify who our enemies are. Maybe you're sitting there and you're thinking about, well, I don't have no enemies right now. I don't have any enemies. I never had any enemies. Well, I want you to really search your heart this morning. Search your heart this morning and see if you've ever had this happen in your life. Maybe you've had someone spread rumors about you. Maybe they said something about you that was false and altered your reputation. Y'all know some of them people out there? They're out here all the time. Maybe you're on a job and somebody tried to get you fired. Maybe they was trying to mess with your livelihood, and we know messing with our job, messing with our money. Of course, that person is going to be our enemy. Maybe somebody insulted your family, made your family feel unworthy. Maybe they targeted your children, your spouse, your mom, your dad, your grandmother, whoever's in your family. That person to me would be an enemy. Maybe your boss treated you unfairly. Maybe they're much harder on you than they are anybody else. That's an enemy, because that's not right. Or maybe you have that obnoxious neighbor that let their dog bark all night long while you're trying to sleep. Some of y'all looking at me funny. Is that y'all letting y'all dog bark all night? Maybe y'all are somebody enemies then. Or maybe it's just somebody that's trying to make your life miserable. Maybe that person is just annoying. Or maybe it's that person that you talk to about the gospel, and now that they know you are a Christian, and now they're trying to trip you up in any way possible. We know some of those people are out there, right? So what I'm trying to say is, one point in our life, we've had someone that was in that category. But Jesus calls his followers to go beyond loving the lovable. He talks about that here in Matthew chapter 5, which we're going to go there here in a few. Now, his people must show love even to their enemies. That's what separates us from the world. The way that the world look on our enemies is the way totally different than what we should look at our enemies. So let's go to, if you would, turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, and we'll look at verses, we'll start at 38 to kind of get a little more of the context. And I do have my notepad up here, so this Bible class is not only my Bible class, it's your Bible class. I don't know everything, so I do have my notes just in case you guys want to make comments or we want to look at some things. I do have my notes. That way I can go back and study as well. So don't have me up here talking all by myself. Interact. So we'll pick up in verses 38 of Matthew chapter 5. And the word of God reads, "You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I tell you not to resist an evil person, but whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn the other to him also. If anyone wants to sue you and take away your tunic, let him have your cloak also. And whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him too. Give to him who asks you, and from him who wants to borrow from you, do not turn away." So let's go back up to verse number 38. Now in the old law, if you go back to Exodus chapter 21, verses 24, you'll hear the same language. Also in Leviticus 24 and 20, eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth. Now this was part of the law concerning in the Old Testament talking about violence. This was not about revenge, but about keeping punishment fair and limited. This was done under the old law, which we all know that was buried to the cross when Christ went to the cross. Now, some of us wouldn't have made it back in the day. If you go back to that Leviticus 24 and you start the reading, yeah, we probably wouldn't have made that. We would have been already taken out. But good thing we don't live like that. We got a new law, so that's great to know. We'll go down to verses 39. "But I tell you not to resist an evil person, but whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn the other to him. Now that's a little rough, that you got to turn your other cheek. Now, that's about personal insult. That's not about ignoring the crime. Now, example for that, if someone mocks you, don't hit them back. Respond with patience. Now, I know that's tough, because when we was growing up, some of us, maybe none of you, but I'm speaking for myself. If little Johnny was to push me off the swing, you best believe when he got on that swing, he getting a push off the swing. I don't know. That was me being a kid growing up. Some of y'all kids did it too. Some of y'all did it too. Y'all looking at me funny, but y'all did it too. Point number two, give your cloak also. So be willing to give more than what people demand. And then in verses number 41, go the second mile. Now, Roman soldiers could force Jews to carry their bags 1 mile. But Jesus says, go 2 miles. Do more than expected at work, home, and at the church building. And then give to him who asks. Be generous, not selfish. Now we're going to dive into the bulk of our lesson, which starts with Matthew chapter 5. And then we'll go from 43 through 48. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, and do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven, for he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? Therefore, you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. That verse, that whole section, to me, this whole time that I was studying, was rough for me. Just because Jesus is telling us, love your enemies. Now, when you really think about loving your enemies, that's people that don't like you. That's people that's trying to trip you up. That's people that can care less about your livelihood. That's people that can care less about you trying to get to heaven. But yet and still, you have to turn around and love that person or love them people. That's rough. That's tough. But as a Christian, we have to do it. So some key phrases in that is love your enemies, of course. That's active goodwill, is not just feelings. Those are actions as well. Bless, do good, and pray. That's specific and outward actions. That phrase that you may be sons of your Father. Now, this behavior reflects our identity as God's children. And then being perfect, meaning mature or complete in love. Now ask yourself, what did Jesus command us to do? Jesus is wanting us to love our enemies. He wants us to show them that love and compassion. Even when they do us wrong, we still got to show love and compassion to them as well. Yes, sir.
I think when we're looking at this particular section of scriptures, even going back to verse 38 where you started, going through the end of this chapter, if you tie that in with what Paul wrote to the church at Rome in Romans chapter 12, verses 17 through 21, the idea of don't repay evil for evil. That's not the idea. But rather, in fact, I always liked what it says there. Therefore, heap coals of fire on his head when they do that evil to you. By being good, by doing good things. It is contrary, I think, sometimes to our way of thinking. You said something that kind of brought something up to my mind from way back when I was a kid. My dad always told me, I don't ever want to hear you starting a fight. Of course, I didn't have to worry about that. I was always a small kid. But he said, don't ever start a fight, but don't ever run from it either. Defend yourself. And I think there's a big difference in letting somebody continue to bully you to striking back at them out of vengeance or hatefulness. Because even here, it says that vengeance belongs to God, verse 19 of Romans 12. And again, don't be overcome by evil, but overcome the evil with good. You never know what you're going to accomplish when somebody who is constantly your adversary, just call them that, your adversary, if you try to show them a better way by the way you conduct yourself.
For sure.
You may never change them, but then again, you might change them.
Yep. And I know we're going to cover that later on, but that's good. That's good. I ain't up here by myself. You're talking to me. That's good. So the point of, I guess, this next section is, well, why are loving our enemies so difficult? Like, why? What challenges do we face when it comes to loving our enemies, and why is that so difficult? Here in a minute, I'm going to show a video. After this point right here, we'll show a video. But we'll get to that here in a few. Point number one is that it goes against our sense of justice. We want fairness whenever somebody does something to us. They hurt me, so they deserve to be hurt back. That's our mentality. Because you look at Jonah. Jonah wanted Nineveh to be punished, not forgiven. You look at David. He spared Saul and left justice to God, though. That was a good thing. Now, point number two. It's emotionally costly, especially after being deeply hurt. Now, think about that one. It's emotionally costly, especially after being deeply hurt. Forgiving betrayal or slander feels impossible. Here in a minute, we're going to show a video. Well, you can go ahead and pull it up, Nate. We're going to show a video of this officer who killed, the girl killed his brother. And just listen to the response that he gives on the stand.
Myself, I forgive you, and I know if you go to God and ask Him, He will forgive you. And I don't think anyone could say it. Again, I'm speaking for myself, not even behalf of my family. But I love you just like anyone else. And I'm not gonna say I hope you rot and die just like my brother did, but I personally want the best for you. And I wasn't gonna ever say this in front of my family or anyone, but I don't even want you to go to jail. I want the best for you. Because I know that's exactly what both of them would want you to do. And the best would be give your life to Christ. I'm not going to say anything else. I think giving your life to Christ would be the best thing that both of them would want you to do. Again, I love you as a person. And I don't wish anything bad on you. I don't know if this is possible, but can I give her a hug, please? Please?
Yes.
All right, Nate, you can turn it off. Now, you think about this gentleman. Now, you think about this gentleman. The lady shot and killed his brother. While America was watching, he got up there and demonstrated that. Now, I don't know if he's a member of the body of Jesus. I do not know. But he demonstrated that. So they are members of the church? Our sister said they are. Who in here could demonstrate that strength? You think about your closest brother, whether it's a Christian brother, whether it's a physical brother, and somebody goes into their house and shoots them and kills them. That person is, your brother is gone forever. But to get up in there and demonstrate that strength while the world is watching. That's what Christ wants us to do. Yes, sir.
Okay. Another true story. Many of you know who Brother David Baker was. He was a faithful gospel preacher for years. Has since passed on to his reward. But his father was a sheriff or a constable over in Montgomery County, over in East Texas. And a man shot and killed his father. His father was not a member of the church. While this man was in prison, he was converted to Christianity. And David often said how what a challenge it was for him to know that because his dad lost his life unsaved, this man now who took his life has that hope of eternal life. And he said, it's a challenge, he says, but it's my responsibility to still love him because he's now my brother in Christ.
Yep.
So it is a very difficult thing sometimes, even when the most horrible, most egregious thing has happened to you by somebody, to have a heart and a mindset that says, I want to forgive you. Now, they need to ask for forgiveness.
Yep.
They need to repent.
Yep.
But to have that mindset that I'm ready and willing at any moment to forgive you. It's a challenge.
Yeah, I can see the hurt in that young man's eyes.
Yes.
I can see the hurt in him, and I watched it multiple times, and I'm thinking the whole time, how is the lady feeling? Like, how is she feeling? Is she really going to change it? Like, what's the thing that she's feeling inside? For that young man, I don't know how old he was, just to get up and to say the things that he just told the lady that killed his brother. It's mind baffling to see that strength that person had. And if he can do it, yes, we all can do it as well. Now, we don't have, I don't know everybody's situation, but maybe there are some things in your life to where, man, you're like, I can't stand this person. Every time I see him, they get on my nerves. Like, I don't understand how I can even love this person. Remember that video that somebody literally took that person's life. That brother's life, and he turned around and forgave him. Yes, sir.
The problem with that video is not the video, but it's the world watching that video.
Mm-hmm.
Because they are looking at that man, and they're saying he's a weak coward.
Mm-hmm.
Go take care of business.
Yep.
And so he has not only this battle that he demonstrated, he has that battle as well to be against the world because he is for God.
Yep. For sure.
It's worthy to note that Jesus went through this same thing.
Mm-hmm.
While we were sinners,
yep.
He died for us. While we were his enemies, he died for us. And as Christians, the whole point of Christianity is to become Christ-like.
Mm-hmm.
So we're okay with that when it's be kind, you know, have a good family, go to worship. Like, we're good with being Christ-like in that way.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to this kind of stuff, we want to, like, throw up every red flag and every excuse why it doesn't really mean what it says.
Yeah.
But Christ did it. He's never asked us to do anything that he did not do himself.
For sure. I didn't read the comments for a reason. Because I could only imagine how the world viewed that young man. I'm pretty sure it was some, you're weak. You're really not sorrowful. I can only imagine. I haven't read it, and I won't read them, but because I didn't want to do that, because I know I was going to get upset, because that young man demonstrated some heart doing that. It took a lot of courage for him to do that, and for the world to bash people, that's just their mentality. Well, that's going to lead us to our next point. While loving our enemies is difficult, because it's culturally unpopular. It's definitely unpopular, like our sister said. Society says, stand up for yourself, get even. The world wanted, if I'm speaking for them, the world probably would have wanted that lady shot, killed, anything like that. I guarantee you. Go back, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. Jesus doesn't want us to demonstrate that. He wants us to show love. He wants us to show compassion. The examples that I have for that one is the apostles rejoiced after being beaten over there in Acts chapter 5. Jesus calls us to love our enemies while culture prays revenge. Something that we could go back on in scripture that contrasts with that, like our brother Royce had said, you turn over to the book of Romans, chapter 12, verses 9 through 21. We repay no one evil for evil. We repay no one evil for evil. Now that's tough when you hear things like that, because like I said, the mind of a man is, no, I'm gonna get back even. Yeah, you done did this to my family. Yeah, I want you to suffer the way I'm suffering. I want you to hurt the way I'm feeling. I want you to hurt the way I hurt. But that's not how we are supposed to have that Christian mentality. Put in your notes, like I said, Romans chapter 12, verses 9, I believe it's 9 through 21. And I have a, if you're using the Blue Letter Bible, I know at the top of that, if you're using New King James Version, my chapter headings on there, it says behave like a Christian. Behave like a Christian. And in there, in verses 17, it says, repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. So therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in doing so, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And like Brother Royce had mentioned earlier, these are things that we have to remember whenever we're going through persecution and we're going through hard times due to people trying to get underneath our skin or trying to take our livelihood. So while you're sitting there, ask yourself, just what kind of emotions rise up when someone mistreats you? Just think about that. Why is it so hard to want good for those who have wronged us? Those are tough questions. Why is it so hard to want good for those who've wronged us, who've taken something from us, who've done something to us? Maybe they've done something to our children, to our mother, our father. Now, what loving your enemies mean? Let's dive into that. What does loving your enemies mean? Let's start off by what it don't mean. So what it don't mean is that we're not approving sin of wrongdoing. That's something that we're not doing. We're not approving sin or wrongdoing. Now, if a coworker is going to cheat or lie, loving them doesn't mean ignoring it or calling it okay. We can still stand for truth, like it says over in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 11, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. Allowing abuse or avoiding justice. If someone is physically abusive in a marriage or at home or loving them doesn't mean staying in danger. Paul appealed to the law for protection over in Acts chapter 22, verses 25. Justice and safety matters. It matters. Pretending to be friends with toxic people. This is mostly, well, I almost went there. I'm gonna go there. A lot of times this is seen in a lot of younger people hang around toxic people. But every now and then, some of us older ones, we could fit the same category, being around toxic people. For an example, if a family member constantly stirs strife, love doesn't require constant closeness. Something creating space is necessary. You create that space. Oh, like it says over in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 6. But we command you, brother, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw from every brother who walks disorderly and not according to the traditions which he received from us. If you have somebody in your circle that's doing wrong, don't approve of it. Don't approve of it. Just like in the church, if there's somebody that we see that's doing wrong because we've done it here in the past, we pull that fellowship. We step away from that fellowship with those people to hopefully gravitate them back. That's something that we have to do. So what does it mean to loving your enemies. We're wanting what's ultimately best for them, which is their repentance and salvation. That's what we really, really want. Now, if someone leaves the church angry and speaks against you, loving them means praying for their soul, hoping they'll return. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. In the end, that's what our ultimate goal is. It's for them to repent and come back if they're a member of the body of Jesus Christ. Now, if they're not, maybe there's an opportunity there where we could sit down and study along with them. Point number two, what does it mean to loving our neighbor, our enemies? Refusing bitterness or revenge. And I know that word revenge is a strong word. You look at America today. I mean, yes, it's war and everything like that. But after 9/11, there was some revenge in America, and we went over there and handled business. But at work, if a coworker lies to make you look bad, love means not plotting to ruin them in return. Instead, we trust God's justice. Over there, Romans chapter 12, again, verse 19, beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. And then my last point there is acting in grace even when undeserved. In any family dispute, when harsh words are spoken, and we know we've all been there, but we've said some things we really wish we could take back, love means choosing forgiveness and kindness, even when they don't apologize, because God forgave us first. We have to remember that. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 32 says, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. So we also have to remember that as well. And in this love that Christ is talking about, it's the agape love. We have to be willing, sacrificial love that seeks the good of another regardless of their actions. That's what our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ wants from us. That's what he wants us to do when it comes to loving our enemies. A couple of supporting verses that go with that. You turn your Bibles over to Luke chapter 6, verses 35. Or if you're taking notes, you could look at that one. Love your enemies, and your reward will be great, and you will be the sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the unthankful and evil. You look at 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 9. Not returning evil for evil or reveling for reveling. And I think it's important to know, like our dear sister has said, that Jesus Christ himself did the same thing. He loved his enemies. He loved us. At one point in time in our life, we was an enemy to Christ. How do I know that? Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We've all have that shortcoming. We've all became an enemy of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But you know what? He didn't write us off. He didn't give up on us like the world would give up on us. Jesus just didn't teach it. He lived it. He lived it. You look at his examples of loving his enemies. You look over at John chapter 19, and we're not going to read all of it. So that's John chapter 19. We'll skim through, hit a couple of verses. We'll look at verses 3. No, we'll look at verses 1 through 3. John chapter 19. So then Pilate took Jesus and scourged him. And the soldiers twisted a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put on him a purple robe. Then they said, "Hail, King of the Jews," and they struck him with their hands. Now we know what happened to Jesus on the cross, but I don't think we really understand. This just wasn't a man. This is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is a man that was both God and man was both God and flesh on this earth. And they mistreated him that way. They beat him. They spat on him. Put a crown of thorns on his head. Probably the most brutally death known to man. But yet and still, Brother Leon, get me Luke 23 and 34. Luke 23 and 34. And let's see what our Lord and Savior said. Luke 23, verses 34.
Then Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. And they divided his garments and cast lots.
Even at the point of death, Jesus himself, while on the cross, said those words. The strength that he demonstrated. You look over at John chapter 13, how he washed the feet of Judas, knowing that he would betray him. He literally washed the man who ultimately sent him to the cross. But yet still, he still washed his feet. And then to hit home, like our dear sister said, you look over at the book of Romans chapter 5. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Uh-huh. We don't know how many lashes the Romans gave him. I don't think we ever read that.
We don't.
It was pretty bad.
Yeah, it was. And he literally demonstrated that, Father, forgive them. Father, forgive them. Like our dear sister was said earlier, we'll go back over to Romans chapter 5. And then we'll look at verses 8 through 10. And it says, but God demonstrated his own love towards us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. At one point, unfortunately, each one of us in here was an enemy of our Lord and Savior. And I can't thank him enough, because he didn't write us off. He didn't send us away. His hand was always out. He didn't throw us to the wolves. He stayed with us and gave us opportunity after opportunity, and is still doing that today. He hasn't came back yet. He's still giving us opportunities to make things right. He's still giving opportunities to make the world right. Now, do they see that out there? They don't. But us in here, the church, we see it. We see those opportunities. And let's not take those opportunities for granted. I say all of that to say this and this point. When we love enemies, we are not becoming weak. We are becoming more like Christ every single day. The more that we love our enemies, the world might tell you just soft. Have y'all heard that terminology? You're soft. I know teachers hear it a lot. They hear it all the time. But we're not actually soft. We're actually stronger. And we're not weak. We're actually strong, because we're becoming more and more like Christ, and that makes us strong. Other examples from the scripture, you look at Stephen. You look at Stephen whenever he was stoned. And you look over there at Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7 and verse 60. Acts chapter 7, verse 60. Now, this is after they threw stones at him. This is after they bit him, and because he called him a stiff neck. And he was on them, boy, and he was roughing them up. Well, they roughed him up as well. But if you look at verses, Acts chapter 7, verse 60, he said, and the Bible said, then he knelt down and cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not charge them with this sin. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. The last words of Stephen was, Lord, do not charge them with this sin. they literally killed the man for standing up. And those were the last words that he spoke. While he's dying, Lord, do not charge them with this sin. It's powerful. How much time I got? Oh, wow. Okay, got to get moving. So I got two more points. So a practical ways to love our enemies. How can we love our enemies? Number one, we could pray for them. Matthew 5:44. Point number two, we can forgive them. Matthew 6:14-15. We can speak kindly of them. Proverbs 15:1. We can help them if they are in need. Romans 12:20. We can set boundaries without hate. Ephesians 4:15. And we can desire their salvation. 2 Peter 3:9. Forgiveness is not excusing behavior. It's releasing someone from the debt they owe you, even when they never repay it back. Now, for you personally, which one of these is the most challenging for you? You don't have to answer, but you think about that. When it comes to loving your enemies, is praying for them the hardest thing for you to do? Is forgiving them the hardest thing for you to do? Is speaking kindly of them hard for you to do? Is helping them if they are in need hard for you to do? Is setting boundaries without hate hard for you to do when it comes to your enemies? Is it hard for you to desire their salvation? Is that hard for you to do? If I had to pick one for myself, I think it would be speak kindly of them. If I had to pick one for myself. Because you think about the things that people go through. And if somebody was to ask you, hey, how is so-and-so over there? And that's my enemy. But I have to turn around and say, oh, you know, they're a good person. Or they're, you know, they're. But I got to speak kindly of them. That'd be hard for me to do, to speak kindly of somebody that constantly gets underneath my skin and gets on my last nerves. It's hard. It'd be hard for me to do that. Now, I'm not speaking for everybody else. I'm just speaking for myself. Yes, sir.
I agree that you can say that. That's hard to do. I remember my grandmother used to always say, hey, if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all.
Mm-hmm.
At school, one thing that we do, this might sound stupid in elementary, but we have a rule, we don't do any put downs, putting down people in the class. Usually that happens to somebody you don't like.
Mm-hmm.
And I try to tell them, if you know them well enough to say something you don't like about them, I guarantee you there's something that's positive. If you even think about enemies of the world people don't agree with, Hitler, I'm going to give him as an example, he might still have some quality that's still positive about him. I guarantee you, if you probably sit and think a little bit, you might find one positive thing about your enemy. But it takes a lot of time.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. And just to think that maybe your enemy, Lord and behold, well, that's the end goal. But if your enemy was to become your brother in Christ, now think about that. You sitting in these pews, imagine your worst enemy sitting right beside you. I got my little friend right here. I'm not even going to look at him. We can't have that mentality. And just think about that. If your worst enemy became your brother or sister in Christ, how would that be? How would you handle that? How would you handle that? Couple of questions that I want you to consider and ask yourself. Is there someone in your life that you need to forgive? What would it look like to do good to someone who has mistreated you in your life, whether it's recent or years and years ago? How would you implement this into the workplace? How would you implement this into your family? How would you implement this in the church? Yes, ma'am.
So of discipline of kids.
Mm-hmm.
You know how I remember my mom always used to tell us, don't spank when you're angry, because then it becomes about you just kind of getting revenge on the kid. Like, you have to be in control of yourself.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
So it's something I think also to keep in mind, because you want that kid's ultimate good. Like, whether it's an adult, like bringing them to Christ, mm-hmm. you want that kid's ultimate good. You want to shape their character in a way that they're going to make it to heaven, hopefully, right? So it's not about ignoring their crime, because if you do, then they turn into a horrible kid, right?
Yep.
But it's understanding, like, the balance between discipline and mercy and teaching. And I just thought that that's kind of. The comment that you made about it's about
the personal insult, it's not about mm-hmm. Yeah, I wish my mom would have got that lesson long way back in the day. I feel like she whooped me out of anger. I was like, you need to calm down, bro. It wasn't that bad. I was just making animal sounds in school and got ISS, but God, you have to whoop me like you did. Good night. But I wish I can go back and tell my mom that, man, probably would have been a better child. No, just kidding. She's not here now, so I can say those things. So I think we got a couple more minutes. So I give you guys some homework to do maybe for this week or for the rest of this year. I want you to find one person who you struggle to love. Now, husbands, wives, it shouldn't be y'all. But if it is, y'all work it out today. Don't let tomorrow work that out today. But if it ain't your spouse, which I hope it ain't mine. But I can't speak for y'all. Seth, y'all fresh. Y'all new. Don't should be no problems. But I want you to find one person who you struggle to love. And once you find that person, I want you to offer a prayer for them this week. You offer a prayer for them this week. And then I want you to do one action that reflects the love that Christ had for his enemies. Now, that might be tough. I didn't say this week or since these years ago. But I know that loving your enemies is tough. And I know it's hard. But at the end goal, Christ never gave up on us. He didn't write us off. He didn't, like I said, he didn't give up on us. Remember this last thing. Remember Luke chapter 15. Go over to Luke chapter 15 as we get ready to close. And this is talk about the parable of the lost sheep. And it says, then all the tax collectors and the sinners drew near to him to hear him, and the Pharisees and scribes complained, saying, this man receives sinners and eats with them. So he spoke this parable to them, saying, what man of you having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which was lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. Emphasis on this verse right here. I say to you that likewise here, well, I say to you likewise there, will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. Just remember that whenever we go and talk to those people that we struggle to love, that we call our enemies. And that's going to be the homework for this week or for the rest of this year. Because you, just by you doing that, they may be able to come over. They may be able to come to the good side of being a Christian. And who knows, that might lead to a Bible study and then you getting that opportunity to spread the gospel. I think the bell is rung. Any final closing comments? Y'all was a good audience. That was good. I didn't have to speak up here by myself, so y'all did good. And I'm not long-winded like Brian, so I shut it off right now. That's it. Y'all dismissed.